Hello, everyone. Welcome to the After the Whistle podcast, more known as the Amp Boogie podcast. I've made some changes or whatever, whatnot, but here we are, people. Here we are. I'm using this new app, Castbox. It's real good. You guys should check it out. If you guys haven't kept up with me on SoundCloud, it's a new process now. I'm not just talking about wrestling. I'm going to be talking about sports in general, NBA, NHL, MLB, NFL. There's a boxing, boxing match. I'll talk about that too. If you guys want me to talk about anything else, you guys just let me know. And I'll keep it as consideration. You go on my Instagram. I don't know if you guys have me, but you go on my Instagram, you go to Amp Boogie. That's my rapping, my comedy, and that's more of the, you know, how do I say this? Help me out, people. more of my life, my social life. But then I recently made a new one about a month ago. It's called After the Whistle. Whistle with two E's. It's all together. More about, you know, I post sport videos and whatnot. It's more about, like, that type of stuff, people. Videos, sports, podcasting. It'll be up there, too. So, hope you guys enjoy this, man. We're going to be talking about an emotional WWE Raw this past Monday. I know I did a new schedule, so I used to do it like two or three times a week. I'm only going to be doing it Wednesdays, but since I didn't get to do it this past Wednesdays with technical difficulties with SoundCloud, YouTube, I'm doing it today. Okay. At just 33 years old, Reigns shocked the WWE Universe by opening Raw with the news that he will be forced to relinquish the Universal title and step away in order to fight this disease. He also revealed publicly for the first time that this marks his second time being diagnosed. The segment became even more emotional when Reigns was greeted for a hug on the ramp by Ambrose and Rollins while announcer Corey Graves joined them in openly fighting back tears. With Reigns' Universal title now vacant from a storyline perspective, Paul Heyman entered the ring to cut a promo after it was announced Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman would have a singles match at Crown Jewel on November 2nd for the WWE Universal Championship. Heyman, who opened by tossing prayers and praise in the direction of Reigns, said Strowman wasn't in Lesnar's league, category, or stratosphere, not even a member of the same species. The comment summoned Strowman to interject before saying Reigns would get the first title shot after he beats leukemia. Suddenly, Drew McIntyre laid him out from behind out of nowhere one segment after he informed Dolph Ziggler backstage that he was going monster hunting and was the only WWE superstar who was unafraid of Strowman. It was very sad. It hit me to the core to see Roman Reigns reveal and reveal that this is the second time battling leukemia cancer. And that he has to relinquish the Universal Championship. And you got to think about it. Maybe this is why WWE was pushing him so much. You know what I mean? You know, having the risk or to come back and knowing that Roman Reigns has such talent. They were like, let's just do great things with Roman for as much time as we have with him. You know what I mean? So, I know it hit a lot of people all over the world, especially in the sports world, not only in WWE, in the sports world as well, and worldwide. And it was crazy. It was a very crazy WWE Raw. A backstage interview before the main event saw Ambrose get emotional. There are not words to describe the ride the three of us have been on together for the last 6 years. Ambrose said, when you don't know what to do and you don't know what to say, you just got to do what you know to do, what to know how to do, and that's win. Rollins then dedicated their match to Reigns before closing with, we love you. Believe that. Pretty emotional, strong backstage segment for, interview segment from Dean Ambrose and also Rollins. The Raw Tag Team Championships were on the line. We had Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins versus Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. The crowd was hot throughout this 4-segment match, which featured dramatic near falls and a series of This Is Awesome chants from the crowd. Rollins nearly tore the roof off by hitting a superplex into a Falcon Arrow for 2 on Ziggler before Dolph came right back with a zigzag for another near fall. Just as the referee was inadvertently knocked out, Strowman came out to clothesline McIntyre over the top rope before the two brawled deep into the crowd. Ambrose intercepted Ziggler's attempt to use a tag belt as a weapon, and Rollins then hit the stomp just as Ambrose revived the referee for the 3 count. But as the new champion celebrated amid a huge pop from the Providence, Rhode Island crowd, Ambrose hit Rollins with a dirty deed. On top of a title, Ambrose pounded the canvas and seemed torn by his decision before crawling over and attacking Rollins again while screaming, say it again, watch your mouth, watch your damn mouth. With the crowd booing, Ambrose removed the padding off the floor to nail another 30 D's before removing his shirt and exiting through the arena. A lot of people were upset, torn by this. I loved it. Now, don't get at me. I know a lot of you are like, why WWE? Why did he do it? Roman just announced he had leukemia. It was the perfect time to do it, people. If they didn't do it this past Monday, they would have done it any other night. Let's say this. Because maybe they still would have booed because he attacked Seth Rollins. We love Seth Rollins. You know what I mean? But let's say Roman never announced he got leukemia. He did it to both of them or one. I don't know. They would have loved it. Well, if it was both. Or if he would have went on a Roman. Which I doubt WWE would have did that. But I could see him. He attacking both like Seth Rollins did a couple years back. He does that. It's like you're going to get cheered. But now that Roman Reigns is out of the equation for like it could be 1 to 3 years. And so, you know, he's out for 1 to 3 years. And then you got you're like, where do you go with Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins? They win the championship. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, great. They won the championship, blah, blah, blah. And then you see, as soon as I seen Dean Ambrose drop the tag team, the half of the Raw Tag Team Championships, I was like, here it is. And he dirty deeds them. But then I'm like confused because Ambrose is just like, he's like torn by it, and I'm like, okay, what's going on here? But then he just kept attacking and attacking. And I'm like, wow. And then he got booed. Of course, hey, you turn on Seth Rollins. It's not like he turned on Roman, who gets booed all the time, or let's say who else. or he was teaming up with Jason Jordan, and he turned on Jason Jordan. That would have got cheers, you know what I mean? But no, he turned on Seth Rollins, and people were livid. So I think it was a great move that WWE did it this Monday, because now Ambrose is going to get so much heat, so much booze, especially if WWE moves the right chess pieces. Oh, yeah. It's going to be crazy. So I think it was a good move by WWE to definitely do that, especially now that you have, like, a super, like, you have somebody like Roman Reigns that's going to be out for 1 to 3 years. So you're like, all right, we have to move the pieces now. We have to see what we're going to do, you know. So, yeah, not a bad move. My question is, what's WWE going to do with, what's WWE going to do with the World Tag Team Championships? Who gets to keep them? One. And will Ambrose face Rollins for the Well, obviously, I think he will. And I think he'll beat Rollins. Because Rollins has held it. And he hasn't defended it, like, in 2 months or something like that. So, he should be defending that crown jewel, actually. But, no word. He won't be defending at a crown jewel. We know he won't be defending at a Survivor Series. So he'll have to defend it, I guess, on Raw. Maybe one of those weeks. Because Rollins has held this in SummerSlam. End of August. Well, the middle of August. He's been with it. It's going to be 3 months he's been with it. And he's defended it like once or twice. Oh, I don't even think. Maybe once he's defended it. I don't know. What else happened on Raw? Finn Balor defeated Bobby Lashley. Hype man Leo Rush stayed busy throughout the match from ringside by putting over Lashley's new heel persona. But despite getting a 2 count on a stiff Samoan drop, Lashley was unable to finish him off as Lashley lifted Balor up for his Dominator finisher. Balor reversed it into a roll-up to steal the victory in a fun match. Something else I want to talk about. When are we going to see Finn Balor win some gold? Thinking about WrestleMania, that's what I'm thinking about. I can see him winning at WrestleMania. That's what I could think. Because right now, it's... Oof. Yeah. That, to be honest, I'm iffy. I am iffy about this Bobby Lashley heel turn. Not saying it's bad or anything, but honestly, more aggressiveness from him. More aggressiveness. Better than a face Bobby Lashley, actually. So we'll see. I guess they're gonna be going into a rivalry. I'm guessing, not for sure. Let's see how that adds up and leads to. Another thing I want to talk about. Well, we'll get onto it later when we talk about SmackDown Live. Ruby Riott defeated Sasha Banks. Bayley and Natalya joined Banks at ringside to fend off the constant interruptions from the Riott Squad. Late in the match, Banks packaged the Meteor from the second rope and a backstabber into a bank statement attempt. Shortly after Bayley cut off Sarah Logan's attempt to run in, a brawl ensued outside with the Riott Squad getting the upper hand. Banks dropped the hold to help and knocked out Logan and Liv Morgan, but she ran into a Riott kick upon re-entry to force the 1-2-3. D-Generation X interrupted by grave message. An in-ring promo from Triple H and Shawn Michaels focused largely on Nastalia Jha with a stern warning to Kane and The Undertaker that they are coming to Crown Jewel to kick your ass. But just as HBK was set to end the generic rant with two words, the lights went out and the Brothers of Destruction appeared on the big screen from a cemetery. Your first match against us will be your last match against anybody, Taker said. We will own your black and blistered souls for eternity. Kane revealed a pair of gravestones with DX's names on them before Undertaker, after weeks of saying the opposite, told Triple H and Michaels, "You will never rest in peace." I'm loving it. They're veterans. They're very old, but tell you what. No matter how this match goes, no matter who wins, which I got The Undertaker and Kane winning, since, you know, WWE likes to do it fair and fair sometimes. They had Triple H beat The Undertaker. So I think Undertaker and Kane will get the win this time. But the promos are gold, people. If you're not liking the promos and the promos aren't getting you excited for Crown Jewel next Friday, what are you looking at? These promos are exciting as heck. And I'm loving every second of it. Elias defeated Apollo Crews. For the second straight week, Crews interrupted Elias's attempt to sing a song for the fans. A long rally from Crews during the match led to him getting a two count following a standing shooting star press. Elias quickly countered with a running knee and drift away finisher for the win. Shortly after, Elias returned to the stage to play his song until Baron Corbin ordered him to leave so he could relay an important message from Stephanie McMahon. After Elias played a song which mocked Corbin in the lyrics, Corbin had his microphone cut and threatened to fire him. Elias initially walked away before returning to break a guitar over Corbin's back as the crowd showered him in babyface tears. No matter if Elias, this is one person I can say he has it all. He has talent overall. No matter if he's a babyface or heel, he will get cheered. Might be going into a little rivalry between Elias and Baron Corbin, maybe. But I'm liking it. I like it. I like what WWE, the direction they're going in with Elias. This is another person coming up this next year, 2019. Since Roman Reigns is out, we got the draft coming. Could see him winning the I wouldn't say Universal title yet. Intercontinental Championship, United States Championship. I can see him winning one of those. Now, if he's on SmackDown Live, there's a possibility he could win the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Another thing would be, Elias. I would consider the tag team titles, but I don't know. I don't think so. No. So I don't see him, but I see Intercontinental, United States. He goes to SmackDown Live. He could win the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Yeah. Another thing I want to bring up, now that Roman Reigns, he is the face of WWE, but now that he will be out for some time, somebody else will have to take over. And you know, everything's about the Raw brand. The Raw brand is an A show, you know? So you think about it, you got... It won't be John Cena, because John Cena, he's doing movies, he barely has time for WWE now. But you think about it and you say, what if WWE brings one of SmackDown's top stars like a Daniel Bryan or AJ Styles? Since the draft started, Or a year after the draft started, because I know AJ Styles went to SmackDown, or he started in SmackDown, one of the two. And Daniel Bryan's been in SmackDown forever. Now, Raw has some time to look at the Raw superstars and be like, okay, you could be the face, you could be the face, blah, blah, blah. They don't see nobody taking that role, especially with the fans. They would have to move one of those superstars to the Raw brand. So, that's something we have to think about these ongoing months coming up. See who could really take over. Ronda Rousey, Nikki Bella signed contracts for Evolution. Rousey elevated the Bella twins' fear of sharing the ring with her by promising she wouldn't lay a finger on them. Unlike the two of you, Rousey said, "My word is bond." Bella delivered a perfectly snarky heel promo in which she called Rousey out for not coming through on promises to her mother that she would win Olympic gold, a world judo championship, and retire unbeaten in UFC. "So tell me, Ronda, did you give your mother your word on all of those things?" Bella asked. After she signed the contract, Bella slapped Rousey across the face. Rousey collected herself, smiled, and after signing said, "Come Sunday, I will end you, and I give you my word." Mic drop. Tell you what. I hope Ronda Rousey crushes Nikki Bella and Brie Bella this coming Sunday. Tomorrow. Sorry. I'm telling you, I hope people. Rousey, she's been doing real good in WWE, believe it or not. A lot of people didn't think she'd be able to do what she's been doing. So it's actually been kind of surprising to see how she's been able to handle WWE, especially in the promos. She hasn't been doing that bad in the promos, especially in this rivalry with Nikki Bella. She's been able to hold her own. So, that's good. I know I do have Rousey retaining it at Evolution, though, which I will talk about the predictions later on. So, Kurt Angle promises a victory at Crown Jewel. Referencing his aging body that doesn't always respond the way he wants it to, Angle ran down the field he'll be facing in the World Cup tournament on November 2nd during a pre-taped promo. He closed by reminding the locker room of his confidence that on any given night, he can still win. Ember Moon versus Tamina Snuka. Ember Moon beat Tamina Snuka, Dana Brooke, and Nia Jax in a fatal four-way match. And nothing short of an infomercial for Sunday's Battle Royal at Evolution, Jax and Tamina continue to showcase their growing rivalry between female giants. The finish came quickly as Moon hit an eclipse from the top rope on Snuka for the pin. All right. I specifically want to talk about this quick. About Nia Jax and Tamina. Yeah, they're cousins. They're the two female giants right now in WWE. If WWE showcases the titles on right now, tomorrow at Evolution, or whenever they showcasing, because they want that to be a thing. They want Raw and SmackDown Women Championships. If Nia Jax and Tamina become a team, I definitely see them becoming the champions, the SmackDown or Raw tag team champions, women's tag team champions. Who's going to stop them? You know what I mean? That's what you got to think about, people. Nobody's going to be able to stop these two female giants. So, It's going to be interesting to see if WWE does pull the plug on that. They'll be like, alright, let's do this SmackDown Raw Women's Championships. And then, you know, you got Nia Jackson and Tamina versus, what, Alexa Bliss, Mickie James. There's no way they'll be able to compete against that unless, obviously, it also depends on, like, the WWE writers, what they want. But I think the best move would be to have them win the Raw Tag Team Championships. Lita and Trish Stratus fight off blindside attack. The pair of WWE legends cut a promo on Sunday's opponents during a backstage interview until Alicia Fox interrupted to say they will be sent home where they belong. As Lita prepared to deliver a message, Mickie James attacked both from behind and joined Fox in a beatdown. But as James began to celebrate, Lita and Trish returned the favor in a brief but fairly violent brawl that ended with Stratus saying, "That's how we do it in the Attitude Era." And conspicuously, absent from the segment was Alexa Bliss, who was scheduled to team with James on Sunday. Okay. We're actually going to talk about Alexa Bliss later on. I don't know if you guys have heard. Well, we could talk about it now, actually. Alright, so let's talk about that now. Alexa Bliss will not be fighting this Sunday. Tomorrow. Keep forgetting. Will not be fighting tomorrow at Evolution. She has an injury from a house show. So she would not be able to compete at Evolution. So Alicia Fox will take her place. It makes the match less worthy because you either want to see Alexa Bliss get her ass beat by two great Hall of Famer legends, or you want to see Alexa Bliss beat the legends and WWE make the statement like, hey, this is the face of the woman, well, one, not the face, but like, she's coming up now, you know. This is somebody you have to look out for. You know what I mean? So, but that's not a chance now, because now you have going to be Lita and Trish versus Alicia Fox and Mickie James. So now it's. Just different now, people. The match is less worthy, even though I still had Lita and Trish to win. Less worthy now. Let's talk about SmackDown Live, people. Yawning a lot. So we have. Photo surfaced online this week courtesy of WWE social media of SmackDown Women's Champion Becky Lynch attacking Charlotte Flair as she was meeting with recruits at the WWE Performance Center. Tuesday, we were able to see what actually went down in Orlando, Florida. Flair was lecturing the NXT woman, and then she began to take questions from the students. Well, of course, the third question came from the champion herself. Lynch emerged and told the recruits not to listen to a word Flair has to say. She eventually pounced as NXT assistant coach Sarah Amato tried to hold them back. Two women were eventually pulled apart from one another, with Lynch still trash-talking on the way out. They then cut a pre-taped promo from Flair where she said what happened at the Performance Center was disrespectful to the foundation of the company. There's no line Lynch won't cross, and when she wins the title back at Evolution, she'll not only be standing over a fallen opponent, but a friend who lost her way. Man, this rivalry is getting heated, people. Rivalry is getting heated up.
I think it's good, though, you know?
At first, when I seen that this week, you know, oh, Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch, they had a brawl at the Performance Center. I'm like, oh, so this rivalry is real. I started getting more into it, you know? Oh, my God, I can't wait to Evolution. I'm still into this rivalry, but obviously it's not real. It would have made it a whole lot better. It would have made the rivalry a whole lot better if it was really real. But it's exciting, man. Can't wait. Can't wait to see what happens. Cannot wait to see what happens with this match. I believe it's the last woman standing match. So it's going to be exciting. Going to be exciting. What else happened on SmackDown? Becky, you see? Excited, guys. Big Show versus Kofi Kingston ended in a no contest. New Day opened SmackDown this week, discussing not only their title loss to The Bar last week on SmackDown 1000, but the heel turn from Big Show that led to it. We learned that New Day will get the rematch at Crown Jewel, and we also found out that the opening bout Tuesday night was a random member of New Day against either Sheamus, Cesaro, or Big Show. It turned out to feature Big Show versus Kingston, which ended in chaos when The Bar got involved and the new threesome decimated the former champs. There was no explanation from Big Show as to why he decided to join forces with The Bar. Hopefully we get it Tuesday, but I think we were all waiting for Big Show to, like, you know, say why he turned on the New Day for the 1000th time. It's, I don't know if WWE doesn't know what to do with Big Show or what. I don't know. I mean, it was good and crazy at the same time, but at the same time, you're like, another heel turn, another turn for the Big Show. You know what I mean? So, the Usos defeated AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan via pinfall. Yet again, communication issues plagued the WWE champion and his challenger at Crown Jewel. Styles stopped himself from inadvertently nailing Bryan with a phenomenal forearm, but not long after, he accidentally connected with a belly kick, sending Bryan down. This allowed the Usos to get the pinfall win for the second week in a row. And Bryan stared down Styles as he was laying on the apron after the match. Backstage after commercial, Styles was asked whether what took place was an accident, and while he absolutely agreed, Bryan alluded to him being a liar, which Styles took offense to. As the champ walked away, disgusted, Bryan trolled him with a too sweet hand gesture during the finish. It should be noted that Jimmy Uso paid a nice subtitle tribute to cousin Roman Reigns during the splash that ended the bout. So if you guys did not see it, Jimmy Uso went up to the top apron. He goes for his Uso splash, but before he lands, he does the Roman Reigns Superman punch kind of thing. The gesture that Roman Reigns does before he goes for the Superman punch, he did that. So, he did that and they got the win. Something I wanted to talk about here. So, Shield are broken up again. They were going to get broken up anyways. Rumors are going around that it was supposed to be at Survivor Series or around Survivor Series. So either way, they were going to get broken up. Okay? What if when Roman Reigns comes back in a year to 3 years, he joins the Usos? Could you guys imagine that? Because, you know, Roman Reigns has talked about it. Shield Usos would be great, you know. Blah, blah, blah. And the Usos have said it too. Yeah, that'd be great, you know. So when he comes back, if WWE could decide to do that. They could have Roman Reigns come back, whether the Usos are on SmackDown or Raw. I could see them going to Raw this year, maybe not. They go to Raw, and he joins them. Instead of going with the Shield, he joins them, and maybe around Survivor Series time, we have a new improved Shield. The Shield adds somebody else against the new Uso Shield. You know what I mean? But all depends if the Shield get their act together. You know, yeah. Like if Ambrose and Rollins they're able to get back on the same boat. You know, that's just me thinking. I know the Usos and Reigns were tagging for, they were teammates for a little while, 2016, but the Usos are obviously better. Reigns, if WWE lets him do his own thing, he could be a lot better. You guys seen it, just that promo, him talking from the heart, he did pretty good as a promo. So, let's see. Yo, either 1 or 3 years. So, Rusev defeated Aiden English. Sorry, people. English distracted himself by screaming, "This is all your fault," at Lana. On the outside, in reference to tearing apart Rusev Day, he turned around to eat a machka kick from Rusev before tapping to the accolade. Rey Mysterio defeated The Miz. Mysterio appeared on Miz TV as scheduled, but as with most babyface guests, the trolling from Miz became tiresome. The legendary Mysterio told Miz that he came here to fight, and following a commercial break, the match was on. Mysterio got the win after the 619, followed by the springboard splash. Evolution Battle Royal Hype. The scheduled tag match featuring Naomi and Asuka versus Sonya Deville never began. Before the bell could ring, the Iconics made their way out, followed by Lana, Carmella, and Zelina Vega. All the women brawled in the ring, culminating in inaugural Women's Royal Rumble winner Asuka disposing of Vega over the top to stand tall. Randy Orton defeated Jeff Hardy. Hardy attempted a whisper in the wind, but Orton was unable to counter it into an RKO for the 1-2-3. In the battle of these two World Cup participants prior to the bout, we were treated to an appearance for the second straight week in a row from SmackDown commissioner Shane McMahon, who simply ran down the list of World Cup entrants from his brand before disappearing. Okay, so Randy Orton gets another win against Jeff Hardy. Cool, guys. I have no problem with it. But where is Shinsuke Nakamura in that United States Championship? WWE, please take that title away from him. Give it to somebody that's going to defend it every week. I don't know if that WWE, they don't have no plans with the title, or they can't find a good rivalry. I'd give it a Randy Orton. I'd give it a Rey Mysterio. Hey, that's who I'd give it. I'd give it a Rey Mysterio. Or whoever wins the World Cup, they get a shot at. Well, if AJ Styles loses, they won't be able to get a shot. But if if he wins, he could. Whoever, if a SmackDown Live superstar wins the World Cup. So, WWE rumors of the day. We have Ronda Rousey and Nikki Bella. They have been practicing their match all week to make sure it goes over well in the main event position at Evolution. Michael Cole was put on lead commentary duties for Evolution because WWE didn't want to ask Renee Young or Beth Phoenix to do something they've never done in a big spot like that. Bobby Lashley has a separated shoulder. Oh man, we were talking about him earlier. For whatever it's worth, that site also says WWE was trying to keep Rey Mysterio from going on the Jericho Cruise, even though he's not wrestling on it. Oh, man. Cody Rhodes' deal with Ring of Honor is up at the end of this month, but his plan is still to remain with the Elite Crew, so don't expect any move until 2019. I'll tell you what. I will tell you something, people. If Cody Rhodes becomes a free agent, WWE, you better give him his money. And when he comes, when he comes, you better push that man. He deserves it. I'm not talking about no tag team title, Intercontinental title. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about no United States Championship. You better put him the first in line for that Universal WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Come on. You missed a golden opportunity with him. Okay, so we have some other rumors here. We had Triple H gave his first comments on Roman Reigns' battle with leukemia. Triple H explained why Reigns wanted to keep his illness as quiet as possible. This is something that very few people knew about this. He and I have spoken about this. This is something he did not want to put out there until he had reached a certain point in time in his career, because he didn't want people to feel like he was being pitied or given things for a certain reason. He wanted to be able to come out at the end and be like, look, I dealt with this the whole time. You can do anything. This is not the end sentence. This is not an end sentence, you know? During the interview, Triple H would explain that Reigns felt now was the right time and way to reveal his battle with leukemia. Wow. Roman Reigns is a class act. Class act, people. Very, very sad that we won't see Roman Reigns for a year, 1 to 3 years. But yeah, hey, your health is first, people. Let's talk about this Evolution match card, people. Come on. Get this match card out the way. Okay. Sorry. Not a lot of sleep. As you see, you don't get a lot of sleep when you have an 18-inning World Series game last night. What a game that was. But we're not talking about that right now. We'll talk about that later. Raw Women's Championship will be on the line in Evolution. That is the main event. We got Ronda Rousey versus Nikki Bella. I gotta say, I'm not going on a limb here. I'm predicting this. Ronda Rousey will destroy Nikki Bella. Well, all right, fine. She won't destroy her, but she will definitely get the W. Ronda Rousey will retain her Raw Women's Championship. The only way she does not retain it is that WWE is gonna make her win the Royal Rumble, and she will meet Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania, and that will be the main event of WrestleMania. That's the only way. Or if Charlotte Flair loses to Becky Lynch, but Charlotte Flair wins the Royal Rumble and faces Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania. That's the only way. SmackDown Women's Championship is on the line. Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair, last woman standing match. I got Becky Lynch winning this. I can even see an interference from somebody. I doubt there will be interference, but I see Becky Lynch coming away with the win. Trish Stratus and Lita versus Mickie James and Alicia Fox. I see Trish Stratus and Lita getting the win. Now what, Alexa Bliss not there? Alexa Bliss will be in their corner, but there's no need for Alexa Bliss to win. There's no need for Mickie James and Alicia Fox to win if Alexa Bliss will not be competing. Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Natalya versus the Riot Squad. I see the Riot Squad coming out with the win in this one. They got some momentum from Raw. I just see them getting the W in this one. NXT Women's Championship will be on the line. Kairi Sane versus Shayna Baszler. I see Kairi Sane retaining the NXT Women's Championship. And Shayna Baszler, want to say Royal Rumble or after WrestleMania. Well, no, I would actually prefer before WrestleMania. Shayna Baszler makes her NXT debut. Because I definitely, if it's not Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania, I would love to see the Four Horsewomen versus the Four Horsewomen. Love to see that. Io Shirai versus Toni Storm. I got to go with Toni Storm in this one. This is the 2018 Mae Young Classic Final. Battle Royal. These are some of the participants. We have Tamina Snuka, Billie Kay, Peyton Royce, Ember Moon, Alicia Fox, Nia Jax, Deanna Brooke, Asuka, Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville, Carmella, Lana, Naomi, Tori Wilson, Michelle McCool, Medusa, Molly Holly, Ivory, Kelly Kelly, and Maria Kanellis. I'm going to go with Ember Moon. I got to go with Ember Moon. A sleeper, though, a sleeper for this would be Nia Jax. Nia Jax could win it. But then we could see Nia Jax and Tamina eliminate each other, so we could see that. That's the match card. It's going to be exciting. All right, we have, let's go to hockey. Let's talk about hockey's scores last night. There's already been some games played today. Remember, I'm doing from today to Wednesday, so okay. We have the Lightning. They beat the Golden Knights 3-2. This is yesterday's scores. The Hurricanes beat the Sharks 4-3. The Jets beat the Red Wings 2-1. The Avalanche beat the Senators 6-3. Today, the Devils beat the Panthers 3-2. The Islanders beat the Flyers 6-1. The Oilers beat the Predators 5-3. In period 3 with 4:54 left, the Capitals and Flames are tied at 3. At 7 o'clock, we have the Canadiens and the Bruins. These are 7 o'clock games. Jets and versus the Maple Leafs. The Sabres versus the Blue Jackets. At 8 o'clock, we have the Avalanche versus the Wild. The Blackhawks versus the Blues. At 9 o'clock, we have the Lightning versus the Coyotes. And at 10 o'clock, we have the Penguins versus the Canucks. Then tomorrow, we have the Rangers versus the Kings at 3:30. At 5 o'clock, we have the Islanders versus the Hurricanes. Stars versus Red Wings. At 6 o'clock, Oilers versus Blackhawks. Tomorrow, we have the... Also, we at 8 o'clock, we have the Sharks and the Ducks. Senators versus the Golden Knights. Monday, we have Flames versus Maple Leafs. Wilds versus Canucks at 10. And Flames and Maple Leafs are at 7. Tuesday, we have the Islanders and the Penguins at 7, Flames and the Sabres, Bruins versus the Hurricanes, Red Wings versus the Blue Jackets. At 7:30, we have the Devils versus the Lightning, the Stars versus the Canadiens. At 8 o'clock, we have the Golden Knights versus the Predators. At 9 o'clock, we have the Wild versus the Oilers. At 10 o'clock, we have the Flyers versus the Ducks, Senators versus Coyotes. At 10:30, we have the Rangers versus the Sharks. And Wednesday at 10 o'clock, 10 p.m., we have the Blackhawks versus the Canucks. That's NHL's upcoming schedule and the scores of today. All right, let's go to let's talk about baseball. What a game last night, people. What a World Series game. Believe it or not, I have the The LA Dodgers, I have them winning in 7 games. I said it before the series started, actually. I actually thought my prediction this season, I thought it was going to be my Yankees versus the Dodgers, but it was the Red Sox versus the Dodgers. Game 1 of on Tuesday, the Red Sox beat the Dodgers 8-4. Then Wednesday, the Red Sox beat the Dodgers 4-2. And then Game 3 last night, it took 7 hours and 20 minutes. The longest, most innings, most longest World Series game, everything. It broke records last night. Max Muncy, in the 18th inning, he hit a solo home run. Walk-off home run to get the Dodgers the win. Boston's leading 2-1. Going into game 4 tonight, they start at 8:09 actually they start. And I want to know how these teams are going to how are they going to do? I'm going to look up the lineups. But I am going to show you. Not sure. I'm going to tell you guys how this game all went down. Okay. Getting it up here. So you people are saying right now, you know, all right, I get the Red Sox. They are the best team in baseball this year. But people. Just because you're the best team in baseball does not guarantee a thing. So, Red Sox, a lot of people are like, but all right, why are people saying the Red Sox gambled, the Dodgers didn't? This is why, people. By going all in, gambling, Red Sox may have doubled their losses. Don't forget, these are 3 games in L.A. So this is my prediction, right? Red Sox in Boston, they won 2. Dodgers just won the 3rd game. I predict they're going to win the 4th and the 5th. So they're going to lead series 3-2. Then Red Sox are going to win game 6. Then game 7, instead of the result from last year, Dodgers will win game 7 and win the World Series. Oh, yeah. Who cares about tomorrow, says ESPN senior writer Tim Cohen. The Red Sox certainly don't. Tomorrow is for the hesitant and the lost. Tomorrow is for the meek and the undecided. There's a special place in Purgarity for those who worry about tomorrow. These guys go all in every day. Today is the thing. Alex Cora manages like a guy on a solo trip to Vegas. He's either coming home on the overnight Greyhound, or he's getting a month-long comp in the best suite. If all in means you run out of position players and end up with one pitcher sitting by himself in the bullpen for 6 long innings, oh well. It's the price you pay for glory. If all in means you're one more Eduardo Nunez, pratfall away from having to fit Chris Sale for a first baseman's mitt, so be it. It's better than folding with the winning hand. Wow, people. Wow. So they're short. They use most of their pitchers, all their bench players, they use them. You know what I mean? And the Dodgers, they played this smart. They really did. They played this smart. So here's the lineups for the Red Sox. They have Betts, Benatini, Pierce, Martinez, Bogarts, Nunez, Holt, Vasquez, and Rodriguez. And the Dodgers starting lineup is Freeze, Muncy, Turner, Machado, Bellinger, Puig, Taylor, Barnes, and Hill. Hill will be starting. And Rodriguez will be starting the pitchers. Those are the pitchers. So, like I said, I got Dodgers winning at home these next two games. And they'll lose game six and then game seven. They got that. Game seven is on Wednesday and game six is on Tuesday. So, they play today, tomorrow, rest Monday, then Tuesday and Wednesday they got to play. So, I definitely might be wrong about, they could lose tomorrow, but Dodgers definitely will win today. Definitely will. Let's talk about some NBA people. So, The Rockets offered. Wow, this is crazy. The Rockets offered the Timberwolves four draft picks. Four first round draft picks at that. And Timberwolves declined them. But after declining, the Timberwolves front office has decided to take off Tim Thibodeau, you know, in that conversation, like trade talks or whatever. And they told him, focus on coaching. We got this up here. So maybe if Rockets make another trade, they try to get another trade, maybe something will go through. I'm guessing it was him that declined the trade or whatever. Haven't read much, but I did see it on the news that they declined four first round draft picks. Man. Chris Paul says Houston Rockets need changes on defense. Kevin Durant, 25 points in the fourth quarter versus Knicks, 41 points total. Curry explodes one game, Durant does it the next. Is Nuggets center Nikola Jokic a superstar? I say yes. The kid right now, this young man, he is dominating the NBA right now. And I'm not, no disrespect to Joel Embiid or anybody else, but the kid's a problem. Are the Mavericks underrated NBA playoff contenders? I wouldn't go that far yet because we haven't seen that much of the season yet. But they have a young, good supporting cast. They got Dirk Nowitzki. He's a veteran. They can make the playoffs, I'll say, 7th or 8th seed. But I don't want to get so far into that. So, just, you know, hold on the Mavericks making the playoffs. The Marcus Boogie Cousins ejected from bench after arguing with referee. New stat shows LeBron James is the most accurate passer in the NBA. What? Okay, so according to a new analytic charting accuracy from the NBA Absolute Elite creators, as detailed in a great piece by Fred Katz of The Athletic, James ranks as the league's most persistent facilitator, something teammate Josh Hart says he's noticed early on. I knew it in open gym just playing against him, just where he was getting guys the ball and stuff like that, Hart said, and I knew, oh, this is going to be fun. It must have been for James' teammates in Cleveland. James is the most accurate passer chart side evaluated, completing 77% of his passes on catch and shoots into the shooting pocket last year. And Hart will benefit from those catches, as did the Cavaliers who ran alongside a man who creates his offense in a dissimilar way from other four players mentioned in this study. Wow. It's pretty impressive, you know. You got a guy like LeBron James. You wouldn't think, right? You'd be like, all right, LeBron James is, he's a big man. He's small forward, power forward. He's 6'8", 250, 260 pounds. And you're like, ah, LeBron, he's going to go shooting all the time. But man, every year that man, he hits 6'8 assists every most games a year. That's usually his season stats. Season stats are usually 26, 28 points per game. 8-6 assists, 8-9 rebounds. And to be honest, I used to be a LeBron James fan growing up. Then he went to Miami and I don't like him, but pretty excited for this move he did to the Lakers. I'm not going to lie. See where this goes with the Lakers. So, see what happens. Lonzo Ball is the start for Los Angeles Lakers after Rajon Rondo returns from suspension. I say, good job, L.A. The best thing you ever did. Hey, I've seen Lonzo Ball has been doing what he got to do. You know what I mean? I've seen him. He's been putting in the work, doing what a lot of people don't think he could do as an NBA player. He was clutch against the other night against the Nuggets. He had a big time step back three. He was stealing the ball. He was what else he do? He was passing crazy. He was rebounding. He could do anything and everything overall. I just feel like that jump shot, gotta fix it. Just a little bit more accuracy, and he'll be a wreck in the force. A wreck to force with in the NBA. Force, you know. So let's see what happens, especially when your teammate is LeBron James. LeBron makes everybody better. No matter what team he goes to, they're gonna make the playoffs. Cavaliers years before that, after he left, when he came back, they made the playoffs, and they hadn't made the playoffs since LeBron left. Miami, they're already a playoff team. But they became a championship team once LeBron got there. Cavaliers, obviously, they're not going to the playoffs this year. They're playing terrible. Still haven't had a win. Lakers, they obviously will. They'll probably hit the sixth or seventh or even fifth seed, I can say. So, and if LeBron gets them at least 40, 50 wins for the Lakers, I could say that the Lakers will be LeBron, he'll win the MVP. If not, I definitely got to give it to Anthony Davis. Yeah, definitely got to do that. Let's talk about NBA scores. Okay, before we do that, yeah, tell my other predictions. Then we got Rookie of the Year. I got to go with Trae Young. He's been doing great this year so far. Definitely got to go with Trae Young. Sixth Man of the Year, I got to go with Dennis Schroeder from OKC. Who else we got? Defensive Player of the Year, I got to go with Kawhi Leonard. If he stays healthy, a sleeper would be Draymond Green. Most Improved Player of the Year, that I'm a Chicago Bulls fan, and I am so happy and ecstatic for this dude, how he's playing right now. And that's Zach LaVine. And each game that he's played for the Bulls, he has had 30 points. And just to see that, well, last night he only had 20 points, but still, you know what I mean? He's balling, man. The kid's balling right now. 30 points, except for last night's game, he only had 20, but that's still good. I see him winning Most Improved Player of the Year. Coach of the Year, I have to say, that would have to go to Steve Kerr. It could go to Steve Kerr or Luke Walton. It could go to Luke Walton. He's Lakers are going to really turn it around this year, people. Don't sleep on them. What other awards we have? What other awards? Most three-pointers, I got to go with Steph Curry. That's where I'm going to go. I'm going to go with Steph Curry. If not Steph Curry, You know, I got to go with James Harden, Paul George. So, yeah. That's it, people. Yesterday's scores, the Hornets beat the Bulls 135-106. The Warriors beat the Knicks 128-100. The Raptors beat the Mavericks 116-107. The Clippers beat the Rockets 133-113. The Bucks beat the Timberwolves 125-95. The Pelicans beat the Nets 117-115. And the Kings beat the Wizards 116-112. Today we have at 7, the Jazz versus the Pelicans, the Celtics versus the Pistons, the Hornets versus the Sixers at 7:30, the Bulls versus the Hawks, the Pacers versus the Cavaliers at 8 o'clock, Trailblazers versus the Heat, the Suns versus the Grizzlies. At 8:30 we have the Magic versus the Bucks, the Lakers versus the Spurs. Then tomorrow we have Warriors and Nets at 5, Jazz versus the Mavericks at 7, Suns versus Thunder, and Wizards versus Clippers at 9:30. Monday at 7 o'clock, we have the Trailblazers versus the Pacers, the Hawks versus the 76ers, the Kings versus the Heat at 7:30, Nets versus the Knicks, Lakers versus Timberwolves at 8, Warriors versus Bulls at 8, Raptors versus Bucks, Mavericks versus Spurs at 8:30, Pelicans versus Nuggets at 9. Then Tuesday, the Heat versus the Hornets at 7, the Hawks versus Cavaliers, Kings versus Magic, Pistons versus Celtics at 7:30, 76ers versus Raptors at 7:30, Trailblazers versus Rockets at 8, Wizards versus Grizzlies at 8, Clippers versus Thunder at 8. Wednesday, we have the Pistons versus Nets at 7:30, Pacers versus Knicks at 8, Nuggets versus Bulls at 8, Jazz versus Timberwolves at 8, Mavericks versus Lakers at 10:30, Spurs versus Suns at 10:30, and the Pelicans versus the Warriors at 10:30. That's the upcoming schedule and the scores from last night. No games have started yet. Well, the Jazz and the Pelicans are about to start. Celtics versus Pistons are about to start right now. They have not started yet. Let's talk about the NFL, and then I am done, people. The NFL keeps teasing London with the possibility of its own team. I say, why don't you do it? Give London their own team. Why not? NFL trade rumors. Latest on Eagles, potential plans, Landon Collins, and more. I'm an Eagles fan, so it's funny that they're bringing this up. We do need to add some players, at least a couple. The Philadelphia Eagles are the defending Super Bowl champs at 3-4. However, Philadelphia is struggling to stay afloat in a mediocre NFC East. This could precipitate a move to improve their roster before the trade deadline. They're motivated, CBS Sports Jason LaConfora. Kafora recently told 94 WIP's Marks and Reese show. They know where their holes are. They're always among the most proactive organizations in the league. They have forward-thinking evaluators and decision-makers, and they have an owner who is willing to spend. According to LaConfora, the Eagles had previously shown interest in acquiring Arizona Cardinals cornerback Patrick Peterson. Teams like Saints and Eagles have been working on ways to land Patrick Peterson for weeks and reaching out to the Cardinals. Peterson's discontent is not a revelation. The Cardinals should embrace the rebuild. They aren't close to winning anytime soon. However, it's looking like Peterson is set to stay in Arizona for the time being. At least this is the impression the cornerback gave in a recent statement. Peterson's unavailability doesn't mean the Eagles aren't still looking to upgrade their roster in one way or another. It's something that definitely will look at, head coach Doug Peterson said, per Jeff McLean of the Philadelphia Inquirer. We're constantly looking to add value, add talent if we can. The Eagles are one of the teams that have shown an interest in New York Giants cornerback Janoris Jenkins and Oakland Raiders cornerback Garyon Conley. Please Philadelphia, whatever you do. Do not get Jenkins. Please don't get Jenkins. Oh boy. We have to see the trade deadlines on Tuesday. So just have to wait and see. The Giants have already moved quarterback and former first-round pick Eli Apple. It would financially make sense to move Jenkins as well, as he carries a cap hit of $10 million and has $20 million guaranteed on his contract. But Jenkins seemingly wants to stay. No, never. I want to be here. I'm happy I'm here, he said. However, that doesn't mean the Giants have to keep him. With quarterback Eli Manning in the twilight of his career, the Giants are headed toward a full on rebuild. Moving Jenkins would free up valuable cap space that could be used elsewhere. Seeing the Giants part with two-time Pro Bowler Landon Collins feels far less likely. He is one of New York's better defenders, and he's still playing on his rookie deal. Oh my goodness. This is a headache, people. Philadelphia hasn't only been interested in adding defensive help, according to Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald. The Eagles have shown interest in Miami Dolphins wide receiver Devontae Parker. Armando said yesterday, the Dolphins have spoken to multiple NFL teams about trading Devontae Parker. I'm not told that one of those teams is the Philadelphia Eagles. Parker recently had his agent sound off on Dolphins head coach Adam Gase for not playing the wideout. Man. That wouldn't be a bad acquisition to get. It really would be pretty good to see Devontae Parker in the Eagles outfit, Eagles uniform. We got till Tuesday. Still haven't done nothing. Wonder if they're still gonna get Le'Veon Bell, or who was gonna get him. So okay, what else do we have here? Benny Blaze still feels sting of his NFL career. My brain is mush, he says. Let's look at the scores from last week, and then I'll give you my predictions, and I am out of here, people. Week 7, the Broncos beat the Cardinals 45-10. Chargers beat the Titans 20-19. The Panthers beat my Eagles 21-17. All those 21 points came in the fourth quarter. Vikings beat the Jets 37-17. The Colts beat the Bills 37-5. The Patriots beat the Bears 38-31. The Buccaneers beat the Browns 26-23 in overtime. The Texans beat the Jaguars 20-7. The Lions beat the Dolphins 32-21. The Saints beat the Ravens 24-23. The Redskins beat the Cowboys 20-17. The Rams beat the 49ers 39-10. The Chiefs beat the Bengals 45-10. And the Falcons beat the Giants 23-20. Going into week 8, we have the Texans beating the Dolphins 42-23. We have tomorrow morning at 9:30 in London, we have the Eagles facing off against the Jacksonville Jaguars. We have the Ravens versus the Panthers at 1. The Broncos versus Chiefs. Browns versus Steelers. Seahawks versus Lions, Buccaneers versus Bengals, Jets versus the Bears, Redskins versus the Giants. Tomorrow, also at 4, we have the Colts versus Raiders, 49ers versus the Cardinals, Packers versus the Rams, and at Sunday Night Football, Saints versus Vikings, and then Monday night we have the Patriots versus the Bills. Our predictions are, I had the Texans winning. If you go on my Instagram, I did have the Texans winning the game against the Dolphins. I have my Eagles beating the Jaguars. It's going to be a close one. I say 24-21. I have the Ravens beating the Panthers. I have the Chiefs beating the Broncos, the Browns beating the Steelers. Sorry, no, the Steelers beating the Browns. I have the Lions beating the Seahawks. I have the Bengals beating the Buccaneers. The Bears beating the Jets. The Redskins beating the Giants. I have the Colts beating the Raiders. I have the Cardinals. No, I have the 49ers beating the Cardinals. I have the Rams beating the Packers. I have the Saints beating the Vikings. And I have the Patriots beating the Bills. That's what I have, people. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. See you guys Wednesday for another episode of After the Whistle and Boogie's podcast. Enjoy your day, guys.